This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Okay, welcome to the Place to Be Nation's Royal Rumble recap. This is Will from Goodwill Wrestling and Wrestling with the Past. And on the line tonight, I have our good buddy Scott from Place to Be. What's up, buddy?
Will, how are you on this fine Sunday?
I am amped, so amped to talk about this show. But Scott, I'm amped, man. We are not alone. We are joined by Johnny Sorrow of the Titans of Wrestling. My good buddy Johnny. I've done a lot of podcasts with him. What's up, Johnny?
Oh, you didn't know?
Let's jump right into it. Just as you said that. Really excited about the show, and let's jump in. Royal Rumble pre-show match, which was the Rhodes Brothers versus the New Age Outlaws. Now, I just got to know, Scott, what were your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, being a lifetime DX guy.
Oh, breaks my heart.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it's okay. I mean, at least they can still work. They're not like decrepit and broken down or anything. And I think as much as I love Goldust and Cody, I think it was time now. It had been a good 6-7 months. Cody has a future, and I don't think you want to pigeonhole him in a tag team for too long. Otherwise, the fans, who are already, as we know now, fairly pissed off, want to see Cody as one of those guys for the future. Goldust is there just to, you know, help others and look great in the ring, which he has been. But I think it was time for them to, you know, kind of move on and be singles guys, and I think they showed that at the Rumble in the match itself. But I think the Outlaws are tag champs for the Authority thing, which who knows how that's going to go over tomorrow night. I was fine with it. I didn't catch the match totally. I didn't start watching until the start of the actual Rumble show. I'm going to catch it on the pre-show tomorrow on the – I think they'll post on their YouTube page. But I was fine with it.
Okay. And Johnny Sorrow, what did you think of the match itself and the outcome?
Oh, I enjoyed the match. It was a great match. The fact of the matter is the Outlaws can work, especially healthy and drug-free. You know, it's like three out of the four guys in there were guys who have had their problems from the Attitude Era who are now in shape and clean, and they worked. I thought a great little match, and I'm a big Outlaws fan. Not even because of DX. Before DX, when they first made them a team, when WCW was kicking WWF's ass, and they went, you know what, we're gonna throw anything against the wall and see what sticks. And they take these two lowest of lowest Carter guys and make them a team, and they just let them do their shit. And I remember watching this going, I dig this, man. This is new. It feels vital. And so I've always been a fan. And now they're old guys.
Old and tired.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, now vital, they're old.
Old and tired, yeah.
Yeah, but he even said, because, you know, when he does the intro, and now we're middle-aged. And I'm like, yeah, man, it's awesome, because now I'm middle-aged. So I associate with you guys, and I'm a big fan. I really don't think they're going to have them be any part of the Authority. They've only hinted at it. No. And not really. They've not really gone there. They had Michael Cole go, well, you know, they're friends of Triple H, but they've never had any backstage thing of Triple H trying to give them favors or anything like that.
Dude, they took out CM Punk for the Authority. That was the whole purpose.
But they've never showed you that. It's all wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And they made a big deal about the fact that, well, they beat the champs in a non-title match, you know, with no help from anybody. Well, you know, so they never did a thing where Triple H comes out and goes, thanks for taking him out.
I don't think they have to. I think it's known. You know what I mean? But I have
two. No, they said what on, they said.
Ahead, Matt, I don't want to argue semantics, but I only have two words for you. Goldust Senton. That was the fucking shit.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Scott, just so you know, who was it? Road Dogg, I think, was on the outside. Goldust is on the apron. Does a fucking senton, you know, straight out of ROH right onto Road Dogg. Knocked him out on the outside. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so the match itself was fun. But, yeah Johnny, I think you're completely off base, but I'm going to let you respond to that.
I'm not off base because what he said, what they had the when they asked the Outlaws, they said what we want to do is make the reason they turned on Punk was to make a statement and get noticed. You know, they've never. I mean, maybe if they have them all come out tomorrow hugging each other, I'll admit I'm wrong. Otherwise, nothing's been said. It's all people, you know, think, you know, insinuating stuff, and nothing's been said on television.
Well, I think we all know that. It's established that it's going to be Punk versus Triple H at Mania.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure this New Age Outlaws thing is a very short-term deal. Really, I think it's just to further the angle. I think it's just to further the idea that it's going to set up Triple H versus Punk. I don't think that there was any other reason to take a hot-as-hell team. And they've cooled off. Granted, they've cooled off. I agree with both of you that, you know, that, or at least with Scott, that, you know, they've had the belts for a while. I don't mind them taking the belts off the team. I don't like that they gave it to an old team that were, frankly, quite frankly, I can't stand Billy Gunn. I've never thought he was a good wrestler. I love Road Dogg. I've loved Road Dogg since Memphis. But, oh, God, he's such a horrible, horrible wrestler, Billy Gunn. Ugh. But, you know, I mean, dude, we just spent five...
I like Billy Gunn.
Yeah, you would. But I think something will...
As a tag guy, I think he's a great tag guy. Not singles. Not singles.
He's definitely not a good singles guy. Single worst Jerry Lawler match I ever saw versus Billy Gunn, 2005. Count on it. Worst match ever. But, let's move on.
I went to a TNA house show though, where he did a match as Kip James. That was like the second match. It was just hilarious because the 200 people in the crowd knew him, nobody else, and he was looked like Andre in there next against a bunch of midgets. It was just. Yeah, I was like, oh my God. I was like, who's the giant? Well, that's a WWF guy.
That's awesome, man. Well, anyway, Rumble match, Rumble pay-per-view proper starts off, has to be the match of the night. Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt. Mm. The crowd was hot. The match was hot. Great match. By far, Bray Wyatt's best match since debuting. And Scott, what'd you think of the match? Anything you want to highlight from the match, from the booking, anything else?
I thought it was exceptionally laid out. I feel like it told a very good story. There was a lot of stiff shit in that match. And honestly, this was the match that we needed to see from Bray Wyatt back at SummerSlam when he was making his debut instead of that absolute mess against against Kane.
Yeah.
This was the match. This truly, for me, was Bray Wyatt's coming out party in terms of being the guy he needed to be. And I just love the pace of it. It told a great story. We went back and forth. Daniel looked awesome, as he always does. And Bray kept with him. And him winning didn't bug me. At the time, it didn't bug me because, well, there were two reasons that he had to win. Number one, because I think it was attempting to lull the fans into a false sense of insecurity, which we all know was not false.
Right.
And secondly, obviously, we talk about when we get to the Rumble, it's the Rumble match itself that Bray Wyatt had a bigger fish he wanted to fry. So you needed to keep him kind of strong, and Daniel's pretty much bulletproof at this point. But the match itself I loved. I thought the pacing was good. I thought they went back and forth very well. Guys got their shots in. I kind of dug the whole Bray biting Daniel's hand to break
up.
That was kind of cool. That was like old school heel '80s shit, you know. That's like Ole Anderson stuff, you know, or something cool, like some old guy from, like, you know, the early 80s NWA Mid-Atlantic. You know, I dug that. That was awesome.
So I could see Dick Murdoch doing that. No problem.
Yes, absolutely. Dick Murdoch or Ron Bass or Black Bart or one of those guys. Yeah, definitely.
George South, you know, but it wouldn't work.
Yes, Thunderbolt Patterson. We could go on and on with those guys. Yeah, it was a fantastic match. Easily match of the night. And I haven't seen an official time yet, but did it hit 40 minutes? It was pretty close.
It was long.
It was a long match.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely got into the low 30s. It had to have, but what a job. I think it was all like, I think WWE was trying to be like, all right, well, here's your consolation prize. We'll give you a nice match. And they're all like, oh, fuck yourself. We'll get to that later. But, yeah, a match was fantastic. And Bray needed to win specifically for him because, obviously, going out to the sea of the Rumble to catch a big fish. But the match itself was fantastic. Very well done. Very well booked.
What do you think, Johnny?
Oh, I did definitely match of the night. I mean, anyone who would tell you different is high. And I'm high. And I'm telling you, it's the match of the night.
Scott, Johnny lives in Colorado, just so you know.
Yes, it's all legal. It's all legal. I love this. It was so good. It was just a great match. Everything about it was just freaking perfect. These guys worked together so well. And because they gave them all that time. I mean, they gave him all that time and just, and Bray Wyatt, for a big dude, can move so fast.
You know what I love about Bray? It's his weird, like, offense. Because he doesn't just do things typical. Like he had, like, the senton on the concrete. Like, I was not expecting that. Or
he's my, my favorite guys of all time are Jimmy Valiant and Cactus Jack. So I'm a huge Bray Wyatt fan.
He's like a love child. You know?
I know, and it's awesome. And if they reveal that, you know, on one drunken night, Jimmy Valiant and Mick Foley, you know, had sex in the Indies and produced Bray Wyatt, then I'd be all for it. I don't care. That doesn't make sense.
And they knew they had to protect the son from the father, so they gave him to Mike Rotunda to protect him.
To Mike Rotunda, exactly.
Kind of like giving over Luke and Leia, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. They won't understand our love here in Crockett. But
what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, you know, the man-on-man love that produced the baby. You know. So, anywho, what I think this also proves is something that Daniel Bryan himself said on the Stone Cold podcast. In this day and age, there's no such thing as a curtain jerker match. Maybe at a house show. But not these. There's only two spots you want to be in. Last match or first match. That's what he said. He says in this day and age, in WWE, you want to either be the first match or the last match. That's your main events. That's how they think about it now. So there's one of our main events was the first match. Yeah. And holy shit, did it deliver.
I think Orton and Cena are going to disagree with you. Because
I liked, I don't we'll get to that. I thought the match was great.
But that's
an opener. What's a bit of a better opener in recent years than that match?
I agree with all that. But what I'm saying is like, you know, what I really loved about this match is the ebbs and flows. Like at first you thought, okay. You know, Bryan is just taking it to Wyatt, and then Wyatt's like just knocking him with these nasty strikes. But then, you know, Bryan starts working on the leg, so you think it's going to be like a work on the leg match. But then they shake that off pretty early. Then they just do the great counters, and that holy shit, that Sister Abigail to the ring barrier. Holy shit. And I thought that was it. I thought that was the match. I knew Bray was winning after that. Just lock it in. It's over. It's done. And I'm with you guys.
Oh, by the way. Match.
What?
By the way, obviously the whole Daniel Bryan has a concussion thing was not real. Because no way did he have a concussion a week and a half ago and do this match. And the fact that he tweeted his wedding pictures. So his time off was actually for the wedding. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
him and Brie Bella tweeted their wedding pictures. They had some hippie wedding out in Oregon where they exchanged vows underneath a tree or some shit. And the pictures are out there now, and that's what he did this week.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe that was what was going on, not the this concussion story. Because if he had a concussion, would they have done this match?
Yes, because wrestlers are stupid. And I'm going to say that right.
Yes, wrestlers are stupid, but in this day and age, really, if he had a concussion with this match,
I think
with all those headshots,
yeah, I think Brian would do it because I don't think the fucking wrestlers know when to stop. You know,
I agree.
So,
but the fact that he also tweeted his wedding pictures,
I think he could have had a wedding with a concussion because that's what you do.
Oh, okay. Like, you'd have to have a concussion to get married. Boom!
Exactly. I couldn't say that, but
do you guys, before we break this up and people wonder what podcast this really is, do you think this match may replace Orient's Rockers as the greatest Royal Rumble opener of all time?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. When's the last time there was an opener? Wow, man, Scott, that's a great callback.
You know? I mean, that's
this might be the greatest WWE pay-per-view opener. I like this match that much. Maybe not as great as Brett versus Owen at Mania 10.
I like it better. I can tell you right now, I like it better than Brett Owen. So,
okay, but let's see it in 10 years, 15, 20 years. But let's move on. Next match, which was quite different than what I was expecting. This was Brock Lesnar versus The Big Show. I'll tell you both of y'all right now, I kind of like the story they were going for, but I'm so over chair shots. Like, chair shots don't impress me. They don't shock me. I don't care about them. I don't cringe when I see them. I'm very numb to the chair shots. I wish Brock could have taken Big Show out in a different way. You know, fuck, throw the stairs at him. I don't care, you know. Pound them with stairs, just something different. I'm not a big chair shots guy, so the impact of the chair shots didn't mean as much to me as they might have to other people. But Scott, what are your thoughts, buddy?
I there was a rumor I heard that Big Show got hurt at a house show last night, so I think this match might have been kind of booked on the fly. I think that's why it was so short. Otherwise, I didn't have a problem with it. I kind of dug the quick brawl and the fast fighting, and I think it was more to put over Brock's ticking time bomb thing.
Yeah.
Almost like a Brian Pillman on steroids. Oh. That same kind of thinking.
I get what you come from.
I mean, it wasn't earth shattering. I don't think anyone was expecting it to be. So I was happy with how it went. It was perfectly fine with me, and Brock moves on. But somebody told me they read somewhere that Big Show hurt something at a warm up house show last night. So they kind of had to book this thing on the fly and shorten it a bit. Although taking that many chair shots, I don't know what could possibly be wrong with you. So
that's what I was going to say. I was like, man, that's one hell of a way to cover up an injury.
I know, yeah. So, but
his ankle.
Problem.
His ankle. No, his ankle.
Yes. I had no problem with it. I thought it was a fine quick brawl to get things out of the way and Brock moves on. So I was okay with it.
What about you, Johnny?
You know what? I didn't hear that rumor, but at one point in it, I looked over at my buddies here and I go, I think Big Show might be injured and that's why they went home early here. I thought maybe it happened in the match. Actually, so you're saying there's a rumor it happened at a house show. I got the same exact vibe from it. I liked it, and then it's just this brutal. But at one point, with the chair shots and the outside, I'm looking like, really? Are you done yet? Like, enough?
Yeah.
Totally. Like and not in that Mankind Rock. Enough. Just enough. You know.
Yeah.
But then when you saw the chair broken, literally broken. I went, oh, that's a cool visual.
Yeah.
But and Brock just grabbing him and struggling, but just like, and then keeping him up there, you know, for the F5. I thought that looked badass.
Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah. You know, it was. Also, it was what also. It was. It was not. It was entertaining. It was definitely entertaining. I enjoyed it.
I think the greatest visual was when Big Show punches Brock.
Oh yeah.
Hold on. And his fist is so big that it connected with his chin and his chest at the same time. Holy shit! His fist is so fucking huge.
Yeah, I love that Brock was selling that he was like not loopy the entire time. Even that everything else after that was instinctive, because he didn't know where he was. Because after he won the match, he's like looking at his hand, like going, "I have five fingers. What am I?" You know.
What were you going to say, Scott?
I agree. His fist is like the size of Brock's head. And it was, yeah. I love watching slow mo shots of Big Show knocking dudes out. It's pretty awesome. It's their face just go, and it's really funny.
Well, I don't know if you remember last month's pay per view TLC. I was there live, and what was the shot where was it Cody coming off the ropes?
Yeah,
where Big Show knocks him out midair, or was it Cesaro? I don't know who it was. Or where Cesaro flew off the top and he knocks him out midair. I don't know. I just know, but I agree completely, 100%, Scott. Seeing Big Show knock dudes out is awesome.
Yeah. And
I was kind of actually hoping for a Vader versus Boss Man vibe, you know, kind of a big battle of the bulls with big stiff shots and stuff. But if he was injured, I can see why they did it. And, you know, the way the show went, you know, they didn't really have a lot of time to do a longer match, you know. So, you know, I get it. But, you know, that match itself is probably the least talked about match of the night, for many reasons, and so we won't spend too much time on it. Instead, let's get to the next match, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match between John Cena and Randy Orton, and holy shit. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on any of these, but this is what I heard, and this is what people claim they heard. These were the chants during the match. Daniel Bryan, We Want Angle, Randy Savage. Somebody said it was Little Nate, but I heard Y2J, but since Little Nate was the referee, I can see it was Little Nate. Undertaker, Boring, Daniel Bryan, You Both Suck, or You Fucked Up. Was it You Both Suck? Do y'all remember that one?
Yes. I don't remember. There was a You Both Suck. I think I heard You Both Suck.
This is awful. Now, I heard...
This is awful. I heard that one.
Yeah, I heard... We want Zimas. I swear they wanted Zimas, the old alcoholic.
I heard that too.
But someone else claimed it was We Want Divas, and my buddy Scott here says it was We Want Refunds. And so I'm not sure which
one. Oh, okay.
And so the crowd chants were amazing. I didn't even pay attention to the match. I know what they were doing. I think Randy Orton was really smart to do the headlock early on. There was no way they could work a normal match with that atmosphere. You hook the headlock, you let the crowd kind of tone down. The amazing thing is they never did. And you know, usually crowds are like sheep. When you're supposed to chant to something, you chant to something. I don't know when the last time Cena did a You Can't See Me that the entire crowd didn't even play along. Not one person sounded like they did the You Can't See Me chant, you know, but they chanted nearly everything else in the book. So Scott, I got to get your impressions on this fiasco.
Well, I was concerned most of the week that Orton and Cena, because they had no real crutch to lean on, like they normally do for their matches over the last like 5 years.
Right.
I thought they were going to try and sculpt the perfect match. And the example I always use for guys that attempt to sculpt the perfect match, and you'll laugh when I come up with this reason, with this example, is Triple H and Scott Steiner at the Rumble in 2003.
Oh, man.
Triple H wanted that epic, Starcade-ish world championship match to end the world and split the atoms and everything else, and it was a big, gigantic pile of dog shit. I was nervous that they were going to attempt to do that tonight. And sadly, I think the first few minutes, I was right. I feel like they were trying to do this drama building, and the fans just wanted fucking nothing to do with them. They'd have been perfectly happy to wrestle a 6-minute Raw match with 50 run-ins and get the fuck out of the ring, to be honest with you. And after a while, it got a little bit better. It got a little bit better, but obviously the Wyatt run-in kind of woke people up a little bit. I think a lot of Cena haters kind of have a breath of relief now. Like, all right, good. He'll deal with him for the next 3 months, and then we don't have to deal. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to see him muddling up the upper card. For once, the Cena haters can't really hate him because none of this is his fault. So he's taking a step back, and he's going to focus on another feud. But this match just – Randy Orton just sucks. You know, Will, we were talking about on our other podcast earlier in the week, I was talking about how Randy Orton just can't cut a promo anymore. And now I really don't think Randy Orton can wrestle anymore.
What? I disagree, but continue.
What in the hell was that? He did that reverse FU with like a half sleeper. He was trying to move his arms. What the fuck was he doing? He was such a bumbling fool tonight. It was bad. It was really bad. I just thought it was bad.
Before Johnny jumps in and gives us his opinion, I'm going to actually defend Orton there. I think he got rattled. I think the crowd rattled him. Because that wasn't the only one. The other one was the other really bad spot in that match, you know, was John Cena's worst tornado DDT ever in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't, you know, the announcers called it a tornado DDT. No, when Daniel Bryan went flying out of the ring and hooked Bray Wyatt with that tornado DDT onto the concrete, that was a tornado DDT.
Yes,
what,
it was.
What they did tonight was kind of almost like a spinning midair, well, I'm going to do a pedigree with one arm move. It was not a flying or tornado DDT. And so that was bad. I think he got rattled. I saw him at TLC last month, him and Cena, and I thought they had a really entertaining TLC match. And when Orton was a face, I thought he was regularly having some of the best matches on the pay-per-views. You know, when he was wrestling Punk and Ray and Sheamus, him and Sheamus had really good matches. He had the great series with Christian. I just think he got rattled. And I don't think... I think he embraces the heel character. I know he wants to be a heel. I think he's just a better wrestler as a face. I think that's probably what it is. What do you think, Johnny?
I enjoyed the match, and I was like not excited for this at all. You know, I was just like, okay, you know, Cena Orton, here we go. And I enjoyed it. I thought they both did a great job, and. You know, you're going to criticize that awesome DDT that Daniel Bryan did. You know what? When you saw the replay, Bray Wyatt's head came nowhere near the fucking floor. Either. Okay. So it wasn't perfect. You know, you like to go, oh, these are my favorite guys, so that was awesome.
No.
And these guys, it sucked.
Dude, most tornado DDTs, the head never hits the mat or the floor anyway. It's almost like a whipped suplex motion.
I'm just saying.
No, that's that not a fuck-up. That's not what they did in that match. What they did with Orton Cena was a fuck-up. Do you disagree or agree, Scott?
It was a little sloppy. I mean, Cena was really taking his time. I think at that point, I think both guys got rattled. I think Cena got rattled, that Orton got rattled. And I think it was not delivered as crisply as it should have been.
Yeah, I think
maybe that's so, but I don't think John Cena gets rattled ever. To be perfectly honest with you. I don't think that guy gets rattled ever.
I mean, he's used to getting booed. I mean, it's evident. The first, like, 5-6 minutes of that match, you could tell that Orton was, like, unnerved. And Will,
what's up?
With all due respect, he's been in the business 10 years at this point. He's been hated and booed by enough guys. I mean, you should at this point be able to tune out the fans. Cena has, and he gets more vitriol than anybody.
I don't think he was. I think he's playing his character. He's playing his character, this paranoid guy who's been chosen by the authority, and now, you know, he's not living up to what they quite want because he's a mental patient, and he has problems, and the crowd gets in his head and fucks with him. It's a bit more meta than that. I really don't think that them going Daniel Bryan is something going to make a 10-year veteran not know how to wrestle. I just don't buy it.
So you think that they meant to have a shitty match And that,
no, I thought it was a good match. I don't think it was a shitty match. I thought it was a good match.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good match. All in all, I'm not the greatest match of all time. Of course not. But was I at the end of it, was I going, oh, boy, that sucked? No, I thought it was good.
Yeah, I didn't think.
I thought it was good. I thought it was good. Not great. I thought it was good.
I thought the crowd.
And I love the Wyatts. I love the Wyatts.
I like the Wyatts. And I love the crowd chanting yes, yes, yes to the Wyatts. That was awesome. But I think that the crowd was more entertaining than the match itself, you know. And I think it really affected.
So I actually got mad, though, when they go in. This, what was it? This is awful. And I'm like, really? This is awful?
It was. It was a bad match.
No. Let me take you to some of the matches I've had to pay money to see over my 35-year career as a wrestling fan. Awful? No. You spoiled, rotten douchebags. You know, go fuck yourselves. That's not awful.
Yeah. You know, ugh. When you see a great match like Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt in the opener and Orton and Cena wrestling for the biggest belt of all, I think fans have a right to voice their opinion. You know what I mean?
No, fans always have the right to voice their opinion. I have the right to voice my opinion and tell them a bunch of spoiled douchebags.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, you're one person, that's an entire arena. To me, that's the complete.
And my voice is better than that entire arena, sir.
You do have a pretty radio voice, Johnny. I'll give you that.
I love you, buddy.
Having said that, let's talk about this Rumble. This Rumble, to me, I was entertained the entire time.
Yep.
I really didn't. I mean, there might have been some moments where I was like, man, they kind of need to either give Reigns another elimination or, you know, we need another guy to come out here to liven it up. There are a couple of moments like that. But instead of just talking about the Rumble overall, I picked out some moments I want to talk about, and I'll let both of y'all talk about those. And then after that, if y'all want to add anything, I think that'll be awesome. And so first thing I want to talk about, I think we knew Punk was going to be number one. Having Seth Rollins as number two was good. That's solid. But nothing really happened. And I think the first big moment came when my man Rusev came from NXT. I thought he looked good for a big man. He had some nice, solid, stiff offense, you know, some big power moves. What did you think about Rusev there, Scott?
I got to be honest with you. I have not watched much NXT, and this is one thing that I'm really looking forward to with the network. It'll be very easy to watch. I love the guy. I love brick shit houses. I love those kind of guys. And he's a big Triple H guy. Triple H is very high on him down in NXT. And I thought he was awesome. I think there's a few positives that came out of this Rumble. There are a few, and we should highlight them before we really drop a deuce on everything else. The booking gave the young studs that were in it a chance to shine, and Rusev is one of them. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? And then everybody that I was sitting with tonight said, oh, no, this guy's in NXT. Scott, you'll love him. You like these big, jacked-up dudes. Not like Vince. But, you know, you'll like this guy. And the minute he got in the ring and just his mannerisms, he's a guy I think I can latch onto. Big power moves and, you know, kind of like Biggie Langston to a certain extent. I'm a big Biggie Langston guy. And I think that was a huge moment for the company. As much as there were some negatives tonight, I think the positives were that a lot of the young guys really showed their oats tonight and took advantage of their opportunities. I think Rusev was one of them. He got in guys' faces and he acted. You know what it is? I'll say very simply. The one thing I liked about him, he acted like he's always been there.
Yes, he absolutely did.
Yeah.
Deer in headlights. He looked like this was his 10th Rumble, and I applaud that.
Compare him to Bo Rotunda last year, or Bo Dallas.
Oh, that
is night and day.
Yeah, night absolutely. And day. I agree.
What did you think of Rusev there, Johnny?
You know, I'm with you. I try to follow NXT. I just don't have time. You know, with my shitty streaming. But yes, with the network, kind of. I want to watch it because what I see is great. I've heard things about the guy, so I knew who he was when I saw the name pop up.
Yep.
And but I had no idea what to expect. For a second, I thought he was the guy who did the old-timey strongman thing with the handlebar mustache gimmick that's down there now. And I was like, is that that guy? No. Okay, it's this guy. Oh, the guy with the Eiffel Tower tattooed on his back. And, yeah, I liked him. I was like, I mean, he made an impression. Okay. You know, so, yeah, it was. I liked him. He was cool.
Yeah, like I said, just I couldn't help but compare him to Bo Dallas from last year. Such a huge difference. The guys who were in the ring at the time, Punk, The Shield, I forget who else was in the ring at the time, but Kofi was still in there. All those guys were just feeding him, letting him shine.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All of his offense look great. We'll see how he ends up, man, but you know, I'm with Scott. I like those big powerhouses like that, man. And so I'm really glad that he made that impression on me.
Bo, by the way, Bo Dallas in NXT right now is the greatest thing ever. He's the oblivious babyface who doesn't realize everyone hates him.
Oh, that's awesome. So
fantastic. Well, it's fantastic.
I'll have to check that out once the network comes to play. But the next guy I want to talk about, and this seems like a yearly tradition, what the fuck's Kofi Kingston going to do next?
Exactly.
You know, and so, Scott, what'd you think of Kofi's tricks this year, man?
I liked it. It's nice. You know what it is? It's nice to know you're about to look forward to something every year now at the Rumble, and I was very curious. Let me tell you something. That I think was the hardest of any of the stuff he had to do. That's not an easy jump. And you know, one foot slips off the barricade and he doesn't make it, and boy, that fucking sucked. And then he's done. And then you kind of have to rebook in the ring because he had a spot later in the night when he was clinging to the bottom rope.
Yep.
Pulling was it Jack Swagger? Yeah, it was Jack Swagger's boot. You know, then you got to blow that out. So I always look forward to Kofi's tricks. I think that's a cool thing to look forward to every year, kind of like a rite of passage, kind of like Kane and Pete Rose.
Yeah, it's almost too bad that John Morrison wasn't there, because you know then you could have Kofi and Morrison doing dueling stupid Rumble tricks. Yes. You know, what about you, Big Johnny?
Man, when he did that exactly the same thing when the Russian caught him. I went, okay, let's, you know, and then when he draped him on the barricade, I'm like, I know what this is. This is the setup. And what's funny is my roommates, who I said, you know, aren't wrestling fans, but will always watch the Rumble, you know, because they just love the idea of the concept of the counting down and stuff. And they remembered, like, oh, that's the guy who does the crazy stuff not to touch the floor. What's he going to do this year? They remember this. And we watch this, and I'm watching him run, and I'm going, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know if he's going to make it, man. That's rough.
Yeah.
That's a long, and I'm like, boom, and he hits it. I'm like, holy shit, he does it.
Oh, he hit it with room to spare, too. That was the...
Yeah, oh. And maybe for all the people who shit on Kofi... And I realize he's not a great wrestler, but I'm just like, you know what? Go fuck yourself, because little kids love him. If I was 12 years old, he'd probably be my favorite wrestler. So, you know, there's guys, you know, who serve that role. And once a year, exactly like you said, once a year, he provides that.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'll be honest with both. Right. I thought when Rusev caught him, I thought he was going to balance on Rusev's shoulders and jump off Rusev.
Yeah, it's something crazy. You know.
That
would be good.
I thought he was going to be like the little monkey balancing on the bear's head. Kind of. Oh, shit, that sounds racist. I'm going to erase that from the podcast.
My little monkey, really?
Yeah.
Okay, Howard Cosell.
God damn it.
Yeah, no, Jimmy the Greek.
I'm Jimmy the Greek. Fuck.
Look at that monkey run.
That's Howard Cosell. Really sir. Bad, and I'd like to apologize if anyone's offended.
Fuck. Oh, God. People that listen to these podcasts don't get very easily offended, so I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah, that sounded really bad. My bad. Anyway, let's move on to a bigger monkey, and that is our big man, Kevin Nash, coming in to steal the show. Come on, you're a Click fan there, Scott. You got to.
I am. Wrong place, wrong time. That was one of those. I think that was the one more of the more irritating, like, you wasted a pick on him? Seriously? I mean, this was not 3 years ago in Boston when he came back, which was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
This was like, oh, Jesus, really? And then the way he fell out of the ring, he must have popped both quads. I mean, it was like, tumble, tumble, okay. I mean, it was – Look, I'm a click guy at heart, but that – no. Wrong place, wrong time. Waste of a pick. But not the most annoying pick of the night. That will come later. But that was just like, oh, wow, Diesel. Yeah. What a great pick. It was just flat. I don't know. Not wrong place, wrong time. Not tonight.
Sorry about that, guys. I had a kid who was about to fall down the stairs.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, probably with more grace than Kevin Nash.
I came back to my biggest fear. Dead air, you know, but
you know, when Kevin Nash came out for like a split second, I went awesome. I went no, not really. And I gotta tell you this. I told Will this off the air. My little 3-year-old nephew is jumping around, and each time the countdown goes, you know, some guy, he goes, "Who dat?" And I say, you know, Dean Ambrose. And he goes, "Dean Ambrose." And who's that? Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston. I go, "Who's that?" Kevin Nash. And he goes, I swear to God, he goes, "Oh yeah," and just start playing with cars.
Yeah. It's a proper response.
The 3-year-old no-sold it. And I love Kevin Nash. Don't get me wrong. And I love the fact that he had the he had the Nikolai Volkoff in 92 role. Come down, come in the ring, get thrown out, and walk out.
Yeah.
It's Nikolai Volkoff in 92.
That's where he needs to be, because fuck that dude, man. I think a few years ago, it was an appropriate prop. It was an appropriate pop, and then he was quickly exposed later on in the year for being a shit show. And so let's not talk about him anymore.
Just part of the fun of the Rumble, though, is like occasionally, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Like some loser.
I was really disappointed. No Jake the Snake, who I was really hoping would kind of make that appearance. I know that was kind of like the build up. And when people,
you know what? Let's keep Jake away from locker rooms. How about we do that?
Dude, he survived the other night, dude. He survived. All you have to do is remind him that
calm down.
All you have to do is remind him that it's PG and the guy is good as gold, man.
Oh yeah. Let's keep Jake away from locker rooms, can we? Please.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, let's talk about someone who I think performed much better than Nash, but is like maybe 4 times smaller than him. My main man, El Torito.
Yes.
What'd you think about that, Scott?
Well, hashtag Midget Mantar, that's my guy. I mention him every week on my Raw Recap column on PlayStationNation.com. And, I mean, I wouldn't call that a – I mean, I don't see that as a waste of a pick as Kevin Nash was, because, I mean, a little comedy doesn't hurt. We didn't get it much on this Rumble tonight, so I wasn't that upset about it. But it was a little irritating.
I loved it.
But not as bad as Kevin Nash. But you know what, the – I would have been great if, like, I mean, he did help eliminate the Miz, which doesn't faze me because I can't stand the Miz. But it would have been nice if, like, he stood on Miz's chest and then jumped back into the ring. That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, that would have been badass.
But no, I had no problem. It was cute. It was all right. We needed some comedy.
I love that Punk showed ass for the Midget.
For the Midget, yeah, that was awesome.
That's great stuff.
Yeah,
say what you will. Everyone likes to like shit on Punk about being a douchebag and everything, but he showed ass for the Midget, and that's fantastic. That guy's fucking talented.
Well, I think. You know? Oh well, he in Mexico, he's one of the best.
He's a legend. Yeah,
wrestlers.
Right.
Yeah, one of the best mini wrestlers ever. But having said that, somebody on the message boards at Pro Wrestling Only made the comment that they can't believe that WWE missed the opportunity for Cesaro to give Torito the big swing, man. That would have been a moment right there.
Oh, well, except for the fact he's already done it. So
yeah, but and then throwing him out over the top during a Rumble?
Yes, well, what you can do, throw him into the third row and break his neck?
You fucking throw him out onto the fucking Miz over the top. That's what you do. You fucking do the big swing. And
there's a good chance that he'd overthrow him.
I'm glad you're arguing with me on every point tonight, Johnny. It makes for a much more compelling podcast.
How strong? Cesaro is the strongest guy there. He could easily have overthrown that Midget. Miz, you're counting on Miz to catch him? Miz?
Him or the guy in the wheelchair in the fourth row? The guy in the
wheelchair? Could have killed that poor man if you were going to do what you're saying.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I think it would have been great TV. Very compelling.
Oh, me too. But let's face it, you know, if you're gonna throw him at Khali, then fine, you know, it's a big target. You throw him at Miz.
Let's move on. Okay, so then I think our other big Rumble appearance besides Kevin Nash was my man JBL comes in, yes. Does the announcer spot, hands his coat out, he's out. I just wanted to mention JBL. I don't really have anything to say about his appearance. Do you have anything to say, Scott, or you want to just move on?
That was the worst insult of the entire night. I think that was the moment where the Pittsburgh fans were like, no, this can't be happening. Really?
What are you
talking
about?
Bad enough we saw a crippled Kevin Nash, and now our guy is not going to be in the Rumble because we needed an announcer gag spot, just like fucking Lawler in 97 or whatever the hell year that he popped up off the table. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Dude, the crowd chanted, you still got it.
You still got it.
Well, you until they realized. Got it. Yeah, until they realized, oh shit, that might have been Brian's spot, and then they fucking gave up on it right after that.
No. They saved their hatred for Rey Mysterio.
Poor Rey.
Okay.
Poor little Rey. Bastard. Felt so bad for him. I don't know. I don't know. I like JBL, but considering tonight, let's put it this way. I think the fans were getting very edgy. That at that point, that little gag was not at the right. I know there was a little bit of a chant. You're right, there was. But I think in the general scope of things, the place was very tense to begin with. I think flaunting a wasted Rumble spot on that might not have been in the right place. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, now I want to talk about a little positive. And to me, that's Roman Reigns and the Shield. What did you think of their interaction? I loved it. I thought the Shield was awesome throughout. I love the fact that they were teasing that Roman Reigns was going to be the guy that actually threw the most opponents out, and then he actually did end up breaking the record. So I thought that was a big nod. Did not expect him to be in the final two, though, so that was a pleasant surprise, especially when the crowd channels all their Daniel Bryan energy into a Roman Reigns, anybody except who the WWE wants to shove down our throats type energy. And so what did you think of the Shield and Reigns there, Scott?
Oh, I loved it. It was awesome. And I've been a big Roman Reigns guy from the beginning. I was a fan of all three of them. I thought Ambrose was going to be number two, not Rollins. But, I mean, Ambrose showed, though, he's just the fucking crazy bastard when he tried to eliminate his own guy. I mean, that was awesome.
Yes,
that was awesome.
A great spot. And then, did you notice Rollins came in and tried to save him? Like, no, don't do it.
Rollins is trying to be the peacekeeper.
I like the dynamic. I really do.
I love the dynamic, too. I hope if there's any positives that we can come out of this, I'd like to see that cultivated over the next 4 weeks and then see what happens at the chamber. But I enjoy that a lot. I think Roman Reigns tonight finally figured out – not finally. I shouldn't say that because he really has busted his ass. But I think tonight he was like, wow, I could really be a star. I've got to really work my ass off here. And I think that last the last, 7-8 minutes with He Who Should Not Be Named was pretty impressive. I thought it was fine. I thought it looked really, really good. Yeah, I thought they were really good.
Yeah, Benoit? Who are you talking about? I was like, fuck. Did Benoit resurrect himself from the dead? What the hell?
I think fans would have dealt with that tonight over what had
Oh, fans would have chanted, you still got it. You know?
I mean, that would
have been sick. If fucking the Benoit zombie comes out, that would have been awesome.
We're great.
Oh, Christ. But, okay. And what about you, Johnny? What was your thoughts?
Dude, I love the. I was waiting to see the. I mean, they really sold it on the whole. How's the Shield going to react? And they did everything everyone wanted to see. The Shield had a brief moment where they fought with the Wyatts. Ambrose, shows that he's just, the one who'll fuck over his friend. Because they said, we agree, it'll be the three of us at the end. And Ambrose tried to take a shot at his buddy, which led to, Reigns knocking both of them out. Yep. I think it wasn't one of the Usos or somebody, or Punk or whatever. But when it got to just Batista and Reigns, and everyone, like you said, yeah, that's exactly what they were doing. They were channeling their Daniel Bryan stuff into Reigns.
Yeah,
at that point,
they wanted to see something fresh, something new, something different. They didn't want to see the same old thing.
And yeah. I here's the thing. I agree. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know, because I was like, you know, fuck this. I thought they were gonna do some sort of a, you know, put Daniel Bryan in at the end. You know, with Vince maybe coming out going, I'm gonna really give the fans what they want. You know, and put in Daniel Bryan. Poor Ray.
Yeah, well, man, well that's my, hold on, hold on.
Ray hits, man.
That's my next topic there, man. Well, poor Ray Mysterio, man. Getting number 30. When we got down to three left, I thought, okay, who do we have left?
I knew it was Ray. He was in the promos.
But the primetime players were supposed to be in it according to the website. So in my head, I'm thinking, oh, shit, it's Batista and the primetime players left. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. And then Big E comes out. And at that point in time, once they took out the players, I think, okay, they can take Ray out, too. I wasn't even thinking Ray. But holy shit, did that crowd turn on Ray. I felt
and they shit on Ray for no reason. They shit on Ray because he wasn't Daniel Bryan.
That's, right. And that's a good enough. That's a good reason.
No, it's not a good reason. You know, really, honestly, as fans, it's not a good to boo a guy like Rey Mysterio because of where he was slotted in the script.
Because
the
company is not providing the fans with what they want, and they are showing the company that's what they want. They don't want him at 30. Then they should have had 31 fucking people and had Daniel Bryan in.
Right. I agree with that. Okay. I agree with that.
So poor Ray. We all agree. Poor Ray. Scott, what's your take?
Yeah, Ray was – sadly, everybody in the last, like, 30 minutes of that match was collateral damage. I mean, like, they all
that's
were
That's true. That's true. They all were.
Fuck, man. We are screwed. And – Sheamus, you stupid asshole. Why are you standing there pointing at the fucking logo when everybody wants to shiv you right now? Just wrestle the fucking match.
He's going heel, and I love that.
Technically, Johnny, the whole roster is heel right now. That's true, man. Every single fucking guy's a heel.
Everybody but Punk. You're right. Everybody.
And the Punk elimination by Kane just rubbed even more salt in the wound. I think if Punk had won, I think the fans had been like, all right, we do like Punk. We'll accept this. Just make sure you don't, you know, Brian gets the money in the bank or something. But the fact that they brought Kane, that was the last straw. I was waiting for shit to start getting thrown, you know, fucking Mabel, King of the Ring 95 style. That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
And that was bad. But Sheamus, pointing at the WrestleMania logo. Yeah, well, a guy sticks a bottle in your fucking head. I mean, wow. I applaud those guys. I applaud those guys for going with the flow. I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because I was saying earlier about tuning the fans out. But in this instance, it's like, just get the fucking match over with before somebody gets killed. this is a little different. And Sheamus is like, yes, I'm going to wrestle. Just shut up before you get killed. All right, before somebody throws something. And I was waiting. I was waiting for, like, trash in the ring a la Bash at the Beach 96. I mean, I was waiting for trash. And but I feel bad. I'm not a big Ray guy, but he was collateral damage. I mean, anybody who was, I mean, freaking Austin could have been 30, and Lord only knows what. Well, maybe not.
Really?
Austin was 30. The place. Daniel who? It would have taken a Herculean effort to find somebody that would have made people forget about Daniel Bryan. Ray was just collateral damage. I felt bad for him. Again, and I'm not a big Ray guy, but I felt bad for him because he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, but it's like that end of the match here where, like, Sheamus and Batista and Reigns were looking at each other. They're all like – first of all, Reigns is like a kid in a candy store going – I bet you all three of them had different thinking in their head. Reigns is probably thinking, man, this is awesome. I kind of hope these people like me eventually. Maybe they will. Sheamus was like, "Hey, fella, where'd all these people come from? Why am I getting booed?" And Batista's standing there like, these people can all go suck my balls. Like they said on his tweets. He wasn't exactly endearing himself to anybody all week with his tweets.
Oh, I didn't even hear what they said on
this. He was something about the WWE Universe can suck my balls or something like that. I don't know. It was something crude.
He was ragging on Del Rio.
Oh, was it still Del Rio? Well, he's still a class act. Yeah. But yeah, at that point, it was just Ray was just collateral damage. I kind of felt bad. I felt bad for him.
I disagree.
And you know, Reigns. What Reigns was thinking was, I'm the son of Afa, the Wild Samoan. I don't get fucking. You know, I'm not some rookie douchebag. I know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. I don't know if he was thinking that. I think he was thinking, fuck, I'm tired. I've been in here a long time. I think that's what he was thinking. But I actually felt bad for Batista, because Batista came back huge cheers the other night, blah, 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 whatever. I honestly don't think Batista had any idea what he was walking into. I don't think Batista follows the product. I don't think he's a student of the game. You know, he's not a guy who's going to come back like Jericho, who's up on things or something like that. He had no fucking clue what he was getting into. I actually felt bad for Batista in the sense that he's supposed to be your lead baby face going into the show. And if, you know, the ratings or whatever Meltzer was going on about earlier this week or any indication, then it is kind of a big deal, you know, that you have those moments, okay? But I don't think he had any idea he was going to get into that.
No.
I don't even think Reigns expected those fucking cheers. And Sheamus, to me, the biggest moment was when Sheamus was doing his little brogue punches on his chest, and the whole crowd is going, no. You know, I loved all that stuff, man. So, to me, the crowd... You know, I know Johnny's like, he thinks they're a bunch of douchebags. I think...
No. And I have a theory. And I have a theory that I want to just put out there.
What's your theory?
I don't think Vince McMahon is so stupid as to completely ignore all this. I think there is some master plan of a final thing they have for Daniel Bryan that he wants to happen, and it's got to follow the script that he has for it. And it's resulting in like shit like tonight. But if you really, I mean, you really think they go, they're sitting up in Titan Towers going, you know, we need to find a way to make the people not enjoy this.
Yes.
You know, it's dumb. No, it's dumb. No, it doesn't exist. Not real.
I trust Meltzer.
That's not real. It's not real.
I trust Meltzer when Meltzer says that Brian doesn't move merchandise, he doesn't move tickets, and he doesn't move
ratings. Yes,
so they don't get behind.
Yeah, he doesn't. But no, you know what? I think they're getting worked. I think Mike Johnson's getting worked. I think Meltzer's getting worked. There's no way they don't fucking know how to make money. There's one thing Vince McMahon knows how to do is make money.
Oh, they'll make money despite themselves.
I think there's an end game. Because what's the thing they keep saying? Vince wants the entire Superdome chanting yes. That doesn't mean that he wins a title.
No, it means he beats Shane.
That means he wants them chanting yes. So he's... I just think, you know, I know that to say wait and see is somehow some sort of crazy, weird thing that gets shit on the internet, but let's wait and see. Because I just can't believe they're going to look at money and throw it away like this.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you now, because I'm going to let Scott argue with you. Because, Scott, fans have been waiting and seeing since SummerSlam. Do you disagree or agree with Johnny? We should just wait and see. We should accept that line of thinking.
I'd like to, and I said to enough guys tonight at my friend's house that maybe he wins the chamber. What about this? See, sometimes Justin and I in the Place to Be podcast overthink things because we think we're smarter than the bookers, and in a lot of cases we are. What if it turns out that tomorrow night on Raw – somebody finds out that, wait, Daniel Bryan was supposed to be one of the 30 guys in the Rumble, and Triple H gave it to JBL.
Kevin Nash would make more sense.
Kane, Kevin Nash. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, you're right. Kevin Nash, that makes more sense.
Or Kane.
Except the last time you saw Kevin Nash, Triple H bashed his head in with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, that's true, too. I think more of the JBL thing. And then
Kane.
Well, Kane, too. I like the JBL one, though, more because I think it's even more insulting, you know, because JBL's been like the announcing shill for the authority. And then something happens and the board of directors or something happens and Vin, or, you know, Linda comes out or whatever and says, we've screwed with this kid long enough. We're giving him a slot in the chamber. We're giving him a slot in the chamber. Maybe this is a time for Shane to come back. And
now,
this is what I'm talking about. Now, my head gets so swelled that I start coming up with really crazy things. And Brian gets a spot in the chamber in 4 weeks in Minneapolis.
Frank Tunney comes back and makes a decision.
You mean Jack Tunney?
Jack Tunney.
Frank is his other brother.
Frank's the one in Toronto actually was a brother. The one who made Bruno.
Oh, shit.
The only other thing I could think of, my other buddy John just texted me. He was with me tonight. He loves thinking outside the box, too. He goes, what if The Undertaker walks into Vince's office or walks into Titan Towers or whatever and says, look, you guys aren't going to put this guy over. I will. He's breaking the streak and you can't stop it.
Nah, no way.
No.
No, I don't think – I think Undertaker knows that the streak is his bread and butter. But and if you learn anything about wrestlers, as much as they're – a wrestler may be a fan, they're all about themselves. Here's my thing. It was reported by Mike Johnson, confirmed by Meltzer, that your top matches are Cena-Wyatt, right? Which everybody was like, what, really?
Yeah, I was tonight. Until tonight.
Confirmed tonight. Orton-Batista definitely looks like that way after tonight. They were Taker, Lesnar, and your boy Sheamus versus Bryan and Punk Triple H. Punk Triple H looks like it's going to happen. Everything leads
that way.
As of tonight, it looks Batista Orton. Taker, Lesnar, you can see because Lesnar just destroyed his opponent tonight. So you can obviously see Taker coming back in the next 2 weeks, next month, whatever, to build for the Mania build. After Elimination Chamber, after Lesnar hurt somebody else, whatever.
But Lesnar wants the belt, man. I mean,
then you see Triple H's little butt buddy Sheamus. Fucking, that's who Brian's gonna wrestle. Brian gets his win back over Sheamus, but yet Brian is still in the fucking mid card, fifth down. When clearly the fans.
Oh, it's not a mid card.
That is
you,
so
you fucking say mid card. You say mid card like he's Pedro Morales in 1986.
He's a top guy.
He's a top guy.
I'm saying he's a top guy who's not in the fucking main event at WrestleMania where he should be. Are you telling me after tonight, after the fucking tepid response that fucking Randy Orton has been getting, that Randy Orton should be in that spot?
I didn't say that.
No, that's what I'm asking. Who should, because Randy Orton's in that spot right now, according to Meltzer and Mike Johnson. You could disagree with them, but they've been pretty right on. They've been pretty spot on in the buildup
here. And I think that part of it is that that's part of the story they're telling is that the authorities said, we're pushing him down your throat. And then we get mad when he does things wrong. You know, it's a story. They're telling.
It's a shitty story that's pissing off the fans.
Well, if you think it's a shitty story, then fine. It's a story they're telling, though. The story they're telling is, we, the corporate people who we know better than you, have picked this guy to be our champion. And when he fucks up, they yell at him, you know, and makes him more mental.
Which is stupid in itself, yeah.
Well, okay, fine. If you think it's stupid, you don't like it. That's fine. But it's like when people go, I don't understand that the authority are acting like baby faces because they're yelling at Randy Orton. No. No. It's more developed than that. It's not just like evil versus good anymore. At least there. Okay? They're corporate.
It's rational versus nonsense is what it is.
It's a corporation who picks a guy who says, you're our top guy, and then he fucks up, and they yell at him for fucking up and not being corporate enough.
Scott,
they're all hold guys.
Yeah, hold on. Ugh. Scott, besides your theory about Linda McMahon coming back, what do you think about my buddy Johnny's theory that this is just the story they're telling and it'll all work out in the end?
Theory? It's not a theory. It's what they're telling.
I want to believe you, John. I really do. I hope you're right. I think everybody hopes you're right. Because if you're not, well, not you, but if it's not, look, nobody's going to just turn the thing off and walk away. Nobody's that. We're not that. I mean, maybe some will. Who knows? I think what's really upsetting is it's like Benoit in 2004. That was cake. He won the Rumble. He went to Mania. He won the title. Why is that so hard for them to do now? People like the guy. Just let him win. I think the thing is that the winning the Royal Rumble is such a sweet moment for a guy's career. And Daniel Bryan has earned that chance to win that huge match with all those guys, stand up on the turnbuckles and point at the logo. Everybody earns that opportunity, and I think the fans wanted to see that. If it works out somehow and Bryan does get the shot or Bryan gets the belt and he hoists it in New Orleans, awesome. But I think people really wanted to see him come down that ramp, eliminate some guys, and win the Rumble. I think that's all anybody wanted.
But you know, don't get me into this whole like mark out, mark bullshit.
It's not mark. It's a feel good moment that's happened for multiple wrestlers. Rey Mysterio in 2006 after Eddie died.
When it's someone who's not a favorite pointing at the fucking thing, everyone goes, "Oh, how lame is that?"
But the crowd doesn't even fucking turn on them like that.
Come on,
no. Name another Royal match where the crowd hasn't turned on the entire not just booed the fucking heel went in or something like that, but where the crowd turned when number 30 wasn't the guy they wanted to win the Rumble.
I'll give you the best example ever. What? As Cena coming in at 30 in New York, yes. Everybody going crazy, and then suddenly remembering that they're supposed to not like him. Boo! Yay! Boo! You know, fuck you!
That didn't happen.
Fuck you!
Oh, God. Oh, this is incredible.
Yeah. The only difference here is that didn't happen this match. Ray didn't get cheers, and then all of a sudden they
poor Ray. Poor Ray.
Ray got fucking booed the fuck out of the building because
poor bastard.
And that's why I hate this crowd, because they like you're blaming Ray. Because when he got when Ray got tossed, they cheered.
I know. Yeah, that was crazy.
It's like, yo, fuck you. This is Rey Mysterio, you assholes.
I agree with you on that point, Johnny.
I agree with you on that point, too, John. Like I said, Rey was collateral damage. He was just at the wrong place at the wrong time.
You know?
I don't think Rey should
And have. I agree. I mean, as a fan, I'm going, you know, Batista, I don't give a shit. I wanted Reigns to win. I was like, Reigns going to win, maybe. You know, I knew he wasn't, but.
Yeah,
I thought maybe they're gonna maybe throw me a screwball.
I mean, Johnny, if they were listening to their fans, which they're not, they're clearly just not listening. I mean, I know
they're not listening to the internet.
They're not listening to the fucking fans in the arena, man.
I think they got something going on.
If you tell me. What would have elicited a strong reaction? Because you heard the reaction to Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt.
Oh yeah, man.
That was organic. It was real. The crowd was into the entire fucking match, right?
Yes.
It was a main event caliber match, top level. We just talked about how it was one of the best openers of all time.
Yep.
And so now you put that motherfucker in here, and then you have Reigns and him as the last two guys, and you're going to tell me that wouldn't have been one of the greatest Mania moments, blah, blah, or Rumble moments, blah, blah, blah.
And I agree with that. I think because
so what tells
everyone goes on about how, you know, there are certain things they have written in stone that they want to go with.
Which is what they're doing.
And I think there's a certain thing, because there's no way they're throwing away Daniel Bryan money. I'm sorry, they're not. There's an end result they have. Going on that they want to get to, and it's like it's gonna be bumpy for the fans who are like, "Fuck tonight, exactly." Like, where is Daniel Bryan in the Royal Rumble? I get it, but I think they've got something that, like, trust us when we get to this, it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, let me throw
it may not be.
Let me throw this out.
But I think they're really focused on this. I don't think this whole idea of like, oh, we're trying to squash him.
Yeah,
you know, that's nonsense. That's nonsense.
Let me throw this out here, and then I'll get both of your takes. Wrestling promoters throughout history, all right, and trust me, WCW did it for decades, you know, a decade, have shown an ability to be tone deaf, to not listen to their fans, and to do shit that goes against fucking logic. And that's what they're doing here.
Vince, you disagree. Rarely ever done that.
Vince has done it a few times, you know.
Okay, then fine. You tell me, both you guys, honestly, when have you ever looked back on your memories of the WWF all the way back to, say, 1983? Have you seen a crowd reaction getting behind a guy
and then the company
where they just squashed it and killed it?
Last year, Dolph Ziggler. Done. Next.
Dolph Ziggler, please, he stinks. He got. No. I'm talking on the level of Daniel Bryan right now.
Sorry,
When has it ever happened?
Last year, Dolph Ziggler, that motherfucker.
No, he wasn't. And he got a good pop tonight. Really, Dolph Ziggler, you're a champion? Really? Really? Look back. You keep going. Oh, no, just Dolph Ziggler. Look back to 1983. Bob Backlund, right when Hogan comes in, when Vince Jr. comes in. You look at the entire history of this company. Has there ever been something as organic as Daniel Bryan? Ever?
Yeah, Austin. And they did the right thing.
Austin. There you go.
Okay, Austin. But Austin didn't fuck
one.
Austin didn't job out. Who did Austin job out to on the way to WrestleMania 14? Nobody.
14? But when Austin first, it was King of the Ring.
No, that's not when
he first took off.
He took off after, he legitimately took off. Because after he'd won the King of the Ring, he was on ice for like 3 months before
Brett. He was
his road started when he fought Brett at 13.
No, it was before that, man.
No, it wasn't. He was not.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Those promos leading up to Brett's return at the Garden at SummerSlam.
Survivor Series, you mean?
Survivor Series. I'm sorry. Survivor Series. Yeah.
Dude, the one, I've watched a lot of that stuff. The crowds, one, were not into Austin at that level.
Oh, they really weren't.
96, not the way Daniel Bryan's over now. Austin was not at that level in 96. In 97 is when he built that momentum, right?
Yeah.
Lost to Owen at SummerSlam. Beat Owen at SummerSlam. I don't think Austin even lose a fucking match in 97? What do you think, Scott?
Well, let's see. I'm
trying to think if he actually. No, he lost to Brett at Mania.
13. Right, and then he beat Brett by DQ at Revenge of the Taker. He lost to Taker at Cold Day in Hell because he got a title shot.
Okay. Was it a clean win or was it like?
No, there was Hart Foundation shenanigans.
Okay. Okay.
Him and Shawn ended in that weird fucked up no contest debacle at King of the Ring, but that whole show's a piece of crap. Stampede, he lost the 10-man, but I mean that had.
Even then, he lost the 10-man in Stampede.
But he lost. I mean, he was in Calgary. I mean, you weren't going to have them win. I mean,
right.
But that was
He actually won that match by having the best fucking image at the end of it. You can have all the hearts running around with all their illegitimate retarded children in the ring, but fucking. With Stu Hart going, you don't know how many children I've ever had, but when I was living in a tent, I used to kill rabbits. I took them out and kill them with a stone. Yeah, fuck you. Stone Cold going out with the fucking handcuffs is the goddamn image.
I was living in a tent?
I was living in a tent with my mother. In the tundra.
Remember
I used to kill rabbits, I did.
I think Austin threw punches at Stu that night, I think, too. I think Stu threw punches back.
Yeah, he did, actually. And Bruce tried to fucking get in and get some heat on himself. And Brad fucking, tore him an ass backstage.
Because Bruce was looking for a tryout. That's what Bruce is looking for.
Yeah, oh, no. Brett fucking tore Bruce an ass backstage afterwards, saying, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Oh, that's funny. But in any event, I you know what, John? I'd like to think positively. I'd like to think that tomorrow night we get to Raw.
I always do, man.
When the crowd is going to be clearly uneasy, the guys backstage should feel uneasy, and let's hope that they've got 21 hours to figure out what the fuck they're going to do.
Well, they're going to
continue. Unless they have a plan. They may have a plan, John. You might be exactly right. Maybe something's in the works. All Will and I are saying is that when it comes to building that guy for that moment, winning the Rumble is just part of the package. It's just the way it's been bred. Now, they can recover from it. That's why we have the Chamber. That's the wild card in this whole thing, is the Chamber in 4 weeks. Something's going to happen there, and then maybe we'll go from there.
Yeah, I don't trust it.
But who thinks that way besides Mark?
Besides who? Who?
Besides Marks. I mean, who really thinks that way?
The whole fucking crowd. God,
damn it.
In multiple cities.
Really? Know. Really? The ones chanting Daniel Bryan? Oh, good Lord.
The crowd wants him.
I hate smart fans who become fucking marks about what they choose is what they're markish about.
No.
Championship belts. Who gives a shit?
We're looking
they
at,
don't. It's not making
looking
money.
At who the fucking company is getting behind. They're not behind Daniel Bryan the same way they are behind a Batista.
They are behind Daniel Bryan.
The same way they are behind a Cena. No. They're not the same.
They are. Dude, they are. Dude, while he was taking his fucking honeymoon, they were offering refunds to people at house shows.
Yeah, that's a recent development. Yeah.
Who gives a shit if it's a recent development? It's there.
Yeah.
Anyway, who else?
Because they can't
accept that, you know? Who else? Are they going to go, you know what, we'll give you your money back if they don't show up?
Yeah. Who else in the last, I don't know, 20 years of pay-per-view have you heard of fucking fans calling up the pay-per-view company requesting their money back because of their fucking screw jobs?
That's stupid.
It might that's be stupid, but it happened.
Yeah, it just happened. That's just dumb.
Never happened.
Like I'm gonna call the cable company because I don't like the way the fucking the end of the Sopranos was. Oh, my money back. Fuck you. But going to the live shows and then we're saying Daniel Bryan can't be here tonight. We're gonna give you your money back if you want it. That says he's the top guy, right there, man. Fuck belts and all this other bullshit. That right there says this is a tough guy.
Yeah.
Because I've never been. I was at a house show and God damn it, I can't remember who couldn't show up. They weren't offering my money back. It was Big Show. It was Big Show. And they certainly
were.
That was about 4 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Who gives a shit? He was the main event of the thing.
Because they probably realize you're going to get a better show without him. They know that without Bryan, they're not getting that better main event. But
Really?
That's yes, because they're fucking tone deaf. There hasn't really been a company this tone deaf in years, man. That's
really no. You really think the local arena that had to offer refunds because Daniel Bryan
the company
wasn't
was offered
be there.
The refunds.
You know, come on, man. That shows that he's a top guy.
No, they're
belts are really that important.
Most arenas are rented out by the company. The arena is going to get paid regardless.
Right, but have you ever heard of the WWF or WWE offering refunds because a guy can't show up?
Not in a long, long time. Yeah. Well. My PIC, Justin Rosero, he got a refund for a WCW house show that Goldberg didn't show up at. And that led led to him getting tickets for the Raw in Worcester in 99 when Foley won the title.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
That's
yep. Cool. So that's serendipitous right there. But
oh, my God. I wish I was him.
I absolutely agree with Johnny that the fans believe Daniel Bryan is a top guy. I think the company obviously... They can't be completely deaf, but
he is a top guy. He talks about himself as a top guy with Austin. him and Austin did the interview, and Austin's like, so, you know, now that you're a top guy.
Yeah, because at the time he did the interview with Austin, he was headlining pay-per-views with one of the worst.
No, you're a top guy. No, it's not. Oh, good Lord. You know?
And then they use those shitty pay-per-view numbers to justify shutting them down the card again.
He's a top.
Completely ignoring that maybe it had something to do with fucking Orton's horrible fucking title reign.
Oh, he's a top guy. It doesn't matter about belts or
that card doesn't change the fact that the fucking fans are rebelling against the fucking product.
That's a fact that happened tonight, man. I mean,
rebelling against the product. That's what I don't think. That's what we're fucking talking about. The fans are rebelling against the product because they don't like what the company's pushing.
I just think that's they've the got something. That's the fact. I think like they've the got something in store. I think they've got something because otherwise they'd hotshot. You know, they've got something in store. Otherwise they'd hotshot.
They got him and Sheamus, fifth from the top. WrestleMania, New Orleans.
Book. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
No, brother.
Anyway, but hey, guys, this was fun. Fun
yes.
time arguing with Johnny. We argue about this shit on the phone all the time. It doesn't matter. To me, this is like, you know, might as well be Wednesday.
Hey, Scott, man, if I insulted you in any way, I apologize.
No, not at all, man.
I get very passionate about
it. No, that's what I love. That's what being on the air is all about. It's all about having fun and bantering. We'll talk about belt importance another night because I love belts. So
so do I. So but, do I.
Yeah, I don't think they're just props. So yeah. I think that they
nowadays they are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what you want them to be.
They didn't used to be.
No, they didn't used to be. And he's not. Let me say something, Will. John is not the only person I know that thinks that belts are useless now. Believe me, it's. I think with them combined now, I think it's a little different. But it was a blast tonight, guys. And you know, maybe we'll make this. We'll have to talk about making this maybe a regular thing. But it's a. It was
talking to myself. Well,
it was an entertaining show tonight. So it was a lot of fun. And in about 20 hours,
I paid $45 for it.
I paid $350.
Well, so I think that ought to come into play. I actually paid money. And didn't watch on a stream, because that's like the worst thing ever.
I have no idea what you're talking about. We're all going to be watching on a stream soon, man. That's all I got to
say. Yeah, we are. Man, oh, God, I can't wait. I can't wait.
But, hey, guys, yeah, it was fun. I plan on doing this for every pay-per-view. Scott, you and Justin are going to Mania this year, right?
No, that was last year. Chad Campbell, I think, is going to Mania and a few other guys. Justin and I are not...
Okay. Well, then we'll definitely see what Sorrow's doing for Mania. We'll see what everyone's doing for...
I wish I was going to fucking New Orleans, but I'm not.
Well, you know, we'll definitely get together, do something for the Mania recap. I might even take the next day off, man. Just talk Mania. Talk about that awesome Bryan Daniels Sheamus match. it can't be worse than 18 seconds, which I was there live for, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, and then it took about an hour for that crowd to recover then. And then
Daniel Bryan became more over than he ever was. So,
well,
there you go.
He was a heel at the time. That was the funny
thing. I know. That's the craziest thing about it.
Having said that, I'm definitely going to want to do a Elimination Chamber recap, so look forward to that. To everybody who listened tonight, thanks and good night.